This is prose again rather than poetry, so we will just read the text and then we'll do the word-by-word synonyms. So, Otoiva makila loka pala lala mopi vilakshanarjada vadavaduta veshabhasha charita charita avila Krita Bhagavat Prabhavo Yoginam Samparaya Vidim Manushikshiyan Swakalevaram Jihasuratman Yatmanom Asamjavahitam Anartantara Bhavena Vikshamana Uparatanu Vritir Uparama. So you can repeat. Atap. Thereafter. Avam. In this way. Okila lokapala lala maha. The head of all kings and monarchs of the universe. Api. Although. Avilakshanahai, various, jadavat, as if stupid. Avadutaveshabhasha charitahai, by the dress, language, and characteristics of an avaduta. Avilakshita bhagavat prabhavaha. Hiding the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Hiding the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Keeping himself like an ordinary human being.
Keeping himself like an ordinary human being.
Yoginam.
Yoginam.
Of the yogis.
Of the yogis.
Samparaya vidhim.
Samparaya vidhim.
The method of giving up this material body. Anusikshayan, teaching. Swakalevaram,
his own personal body,
which is not at all material.
Jahasahu,
desiring to give up like an ordinary human being. Atmane. Unto Vasudeva, the original person. Atmanam. Himself, Lord Vrishabhadev. Being an Avesha Avatara of Lord Vishnu. Asamja Vahitam. Without intervention by the illusory energy. Anartha antarabhavena, himself in the status of Vishnu. Anvikshamanaha, always seen. Uparata anuvrittihi, who is acting as if giving up his material body. Uparama, ceased his pastimes as the king of this planet. So translation. Lord Rishabhadeva was the head of all kings and emperors within this universe, but assuming the dress and language of an avaduta, he acted as if dull and materially bound. Consequently, no one could observe his divine opulence. He adopted this behavior just to teach yogis how to give up the body. Nonetheless, he maintained his original position as a plenary expansion of Lord Vasudeva Krishna. Remaining always in that state, he gave up his pastimes as Lord Rishabhadeva within the material world. If following in the footsteps of Lord Rishabhadeva, one can give up his subtle body, there's no chance that one will accept a material body again. So you can repeat. Lord Rishabhadev was the head of all kings and emperors.
Lord Rishabhadev was the head of all kings and emperors.
Within this universe.
Within this universe.
But assuming the dress and language of an Avadutha. He acted as if dull and materially bound. Consequently, no one could observe his divine opulence. He adopted this behavior just to teach yogis how to give up the body. Nonetheless, he maintained his original position as a plenary expansion of Lord Vasudeva Krishna. Remaining always in that state. He gave up his pastimes as Lord Rishabhadeva.
He gave up his pastimes as Lord Rishabhadeva.
Within the material world.
Within the material world.
If following in the footsteps of Lord Rishabhadeva.
If following in the footsteps of Lord Rishabhadeva.
One can give up his subtle body.
One can give up his subtle body.
There is no chance.
There is no chance.
That one will accept a material body again. So purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, text 9, Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvataha Chaktva Deham Purna Janma Naiti Mameti Sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is possible simply by keeping oneself an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. One must understand his constitutional position and the constitutional position of the Supreme Lord as well. Both have the same spiritual identity. Maintaining oneself as a servant of the Supreme Lord, one should avoid rebirth in this material world. If one keeps himself spiritually fit and thinks of himself as an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, he will be successful at the time he has to give up the material body. So Om Gana Timiranda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this pastime of Lord Rishabhadev giving up a body, in spite of having a spiritual body, reminds me of Krishna's pastimes of the Moksha Leela. Moksha Leela, actually Prabhupada described the Moksha Leela as an illusory pastime. That means, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means that Krishna did it to keep those, as he says in the Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrata Mudo Yam Navijanati. He says, those who are envious of me, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrata, I cover with my eternal deluding potency. Of course, in this verse it's mentioned Yogamaya, but Mahamaya is actually an expansion of Yogamaya, so we can actually say Yogamaya is acting in this world too, in terms of her expansion, Mahamaya. And so Krishna does that for those who are envious. He gives them a particular understanding and even a manifestation whereby they apparently can prove or have empirical proof that Krishna is not God. It's interesting. So they can maintain their atheistic status. Because in the Moksha Leela, it's quite interesting. You have Krishna being hit on the foot with an arrow. I don't know if you know that story. There's this hunter, Jara. And it's described that he was Bhrigu Muni before. Bhrigu Muni had committed that great offense against Lord Vishnu by kicking Lord Vishnu in the chest. But Lord Vishnu actually is very interesting. He always has on his chest the Bhrigupada. Like if you see the deities of Lord Vishnu in South India, sometimes they have the mark of Bhrigu's foot on their chest. They have the Kastubamani and the Bhrigupada. Bhrigupada means the footprint. And of course, That was because Bhrigu was testing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sages actually had a whole discussion, you know, who is the Supreme Lord? And Bhrigu went around testing the chief demigods like Brahma. He insulted Brahma by not offering respects to Brahma. And then he insulted Lord Shiva by saying, "Stay away from me, you crematorium-loving, ashes-covered person." And Lord Shiva was getting ready to kill him, but Parvati interceded on Bhrigu's behalf. So you have Bhrigu Muni. It was a pastime, actually. The Lord inspired him to do this. And then Bhrigu kicked the Lord's chest. Lakshmi got angry. And she cursed Bhrigu and cursed all the brahmanas from that point forward. The brahmanas would be bereft of opulence. Of course, if one's a Vaishnava, then Lakshmi gives you opulence. But that's a different thing. But if one's just an ordinary brahmana, forget it. You're being cursed by Lakshmi. In addition, he was cursed to become like a low-class hunter, a karata. Hmm. And so as a low-class hunter, he was firing his bow and arrow. Hmm. And he saw something that, I don't know how a foot would look like a deer. I mean, it's really, really illusory potency of the Lord. So he saw something that looked like the deer was the Lord's foot, you know. And then he shot the arrow at the foot of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he came up and he was actually completely morose and feeling despondent and apologetic that he had shot at the Lord. And at that point, the Lord gave up what appeared to be a material body. I mean, many atheists quote this particular verse, or this pastime, sorry. And they say, well, Krishna has a material body. But of course, in the Gita, he says something different. Ajopi samvyatma bhutanam ishvaropisham prakritim shvam adishtaya sambhavami atmamaya. Everybody knows this verse? Although I am unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Atmamaya, my energy or original transcendental form. Anyway, so Krishna manifested a body made of the material elements, which is interesting, just so the atheists would be bewildered. And Krishna does this in many ways. I mean, not just the body made of the material elements, but Krishna does this also, as we mentioned a few days ago, in his holy dham. You know, you go to the holy dham and you just see from the external viewpoint, and it appears like there's garbage all over. There is garbage, of course. But it appears, you don't see the actual. There is garbage, obviously, and there are pigs. It's not that just like an LSD trip, the pigs and the garbage. They're there. And it's actually very bad that people are throwing garbage all over the place and catching the pigs. And some people are eating pigs, which is really obnoxious. Or eating any animal is obnoxious. And, you know, people are not protecting the holy dham. And, of course, nowadays, there's actually some programs to fence in certain areas of the holy dham and actually grow trees again. But in any case, you see that. That's happening, of course. But underneath that veneer, that covering, there's actually Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's holy abode, and Chintamani stone. It's just like Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha lakshavrateshu suruviya vi pavyantam lakshmi sahasra sata sambrama sevimanam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. You see, this everything's made of Chintamani. And if you look at it now, you'll just, instead of Chintamani, you'll just see stool and plastic bags and, you know, God knows what else there. And motorcycles. You know, another thing that bugs me about the Holy Dham is this. Is people riding these motorcycles like they're in a race down some small, you know, down dirt roads. Ever seen that? I mean, it's just like you're trying to chant Hare Krishna and someone goes, boom, right by you. It's like, you know, what is that movie? Easy Rider. I don't know if anyone remembers that movie. So you see all these things, but actually underneath, there's bullock carts and surabi cows and kalpa briksha trees, but you're not seeing that because you're not really qualified. Actually, to see those things, you have to be extremely qualified. Even we have the example of Narada Muni. Narada Muni, before he became Narada Muni, he was a son of a maidservant. And his maidservant means, like, I guess he didn't know who his father was. And then his mother died, and he actually went wandering, and then he saw Krishna once. And Krishna says, you know, I'm not, really can't be seen by someone, and it's a special concession for you. You can see me once. You understand? You can see me once, but not now, because you're not really that qualified. And then later on, after giving up that body and taking another body like the thunder and lightning, a spiritual body of Narada Muni, he was able to see Krishna constantly and travel to the material and spiritual worlds and associate with the Supreme Lord in his multifarious incarnations. However, you know, even you see a great personality like that not able to see Krishna. You know, sometimes this morning I was chanting japa and I was thinking, you know, why can't I see you, Krishna? You know, what's wrong? You know, where's my faith? You know, where's, you know, we can think like this while we're chanting, you know. Like that song by George Harrison, I really want to see you, Lord. It takes so long. It certainly does take so long. You know that song? My Sweet Lord? Yeah. I really want to see you, Lord. I really want to be with you. It takes so long, I know. And I said, yeah, it sure does. 40 years chanting, and I'm still going at it, and I haven't seen you. This morning I was chanting, I was thinking, Krishna, come on. 40 years I give into this chanting, I'm still not seeing you. Right now, I want to see you. So we should, of course, not be too demanding, but we should have that attitude, you know, that Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram, O son of Nanda Maharaj, Kinkaram, I am your servant, but Patitamam Vishamay Bhavam Buddha. I am fallen in the ocean of material birth and death. Please fix me up. You know, let me see you. It has to be some plea, like my god brother Gaur Govinda Maharaj said at one point he was opening up a school for crying, a crying school. And this is actually very interesting. So when Prabhupada actually said the same thing, you have to cry for Krishna. Of course, we cry for a lot of other things. I want this. Nobody loves me. I want this Christmas present. You know, we cry for a lot. And kids cry, too. We were talking about this last night with some parents. How it's interesting how parents, if you just have one child, the child becomes spoiled because he's the everything. I was very upset when my brother was born because I was the only child for 3 years. And then after that, I lost my position on the altar. I got put down on a lower step of the altar. So anyway, we have to cry for Krishna while we're praying and chanting. And then our japa can be very, very focused and intense. You know, Krishna, I want to see you. I want to serve you. I want to be your servant. Like Prabhupada talks about here, you always understand the servant. So anyway, so getting back to the story, okay. The story of Moksha Leela. So Krishna left like that, manifesting in his body. So not only with, in the sense of Krishna manifesting like a illusory body happens, but all these different, let's say, scientific things in this world, whether it's the evolutionary theory, it actually is a theory, or whatever, Krishna just puts these things out to allow people to cover himself. Because people are not really qualified to understand Krishna. Because, as says, bhakti mam avijanati yavanyas chasmi tadvata. You know, that's that verse. Bhakti mam avijanati. I can only be seen by devotion. And also in the ninth chapter of the Gita, Anasuyave, Patrikshava, that Anasuyave, if I'm revealing this to you, Arjuna, because you are not envious of me, Anasuyave, you don't have any, you're not envious. So really, all these things of Maya, this illusory stuff, is all manifest because we're envious of Krishna. It's to protect the holy Dham and to protect Krishna from rascals. It's like at the guards of Vaikuntha, they're Jai and Vijay, and they're supposed to guard. Of course, sometimes they make mistakes, like in the case of the four Kumaras. That's a big mistake. They don't let people into the spiritual world. Now, if they stop the four Kumaras, of course, they got cursed. They got to become demons as a result of that. But still, all these manifestations of Maya are there. You know, whatever it is, you know, like modern science or attraction between men and women, which is the strongest attraction in this world, the sexual attraction. Attraction between men and women, modern scientific theories, all these little doodads that we have nowadays, you know, the gadgets. As I was mentioning the other day, that this the newest thing, the newest word in the English dictionary is newphoria. You understand? Newphoria? That means getting some new gadget and feeling euphoria. That's combining the two words, newphoria. Like that, you know, someone gets this newphoria, new camera, new gadget. And it's like, you know, my emails every day, it's just like, what is it called? Tiger Direct. You know what Tiger Direct is? No. Or Circuit City is sending these emails, just now, get this, new that, with the greatest power. i7, you know, that's a chip, actually. You know, I won't tell you what a chip is. So all these things are just to protect Krishna from us. It's all arranged by Krishna. It's all just like, you know, like in a jail, you know, the bars are actually, yeah, they're to keep the prisoners in, but they're actually to protect us from the prisoners. Isn't it? And also the TVs, you know, they have TVs in the jail now. So they keep prisoners entertained so they won't try to break out. Recently, in Chicago, I think, they had this breakout where the prisoners tie their sheets. Anyone read this? No. I'm so much in Maya, I read the news every day. So the prisoners, they were like in 12 stories up. So this is like some story. They tie their bed sheets one after the other and let themselves down the wall. What? Yeah, no trick. I mean, the jailer should have understood. You don't let open windows be there, you know, even if it's 12 stories up, because they'll figure a way to get down. So anyway, I mean, all these prisons, the bars and everything like that, and the TVs are meant to keep prisoners entertained so they'll stay happy there, or the gym. They even have gymnasiums in the prisons now, and movie theaters and Hare Krishna temples in the prisons. It's true. I mean, actually, we get notes from devotees all the time in the prison. And it's interesting, Haridas Thakur, he was also in prison for a while, not because he did anything bad, but because he chanted Hare Krishna. And the prisoners actually took shelter of him, and they asked for his blessings, and he said, "May you remain where you are." And they got real upset. What kind of blessing is that? To remain in prison? And he said, "No, remain where you are, absorbed in Krishna consciousness." He explained the blessing. Because they were getting extremely upset with him. Because he was thinking, you know, he's blessing them to stay in prison. So anyway, all this stuff in the prison is just meant to protect the honest citizens, right? And just to keep them away. I mean, just like now in Delhi, they're having these big riots. Because Delhi is like the rape capital of India. And they're having these giant riots, and the government is taking these fire hoses and trying to keep the people away from the government buildings, particularly now that the Prime Minister of Russia was visiting, so they didn't want any interference with that. So Because people are demanding protection from the criminals. That's the whole purpose of the criminal law system, is to give the people protection. Of course, ultimately you want to reform the people. That's true. Although that doesn't happen, that there's a lot of what we call recidivism. Recidivism means that once people get out, it's like a revolving door. They go back in because they're not really reformed. Of course, with the spiritual world, once you leave, you don't go back in. Once you get reformed, you stay out because you've learned your lesson. But the material prison is not exactly like that. So anyway, so all these different factors in the material world are actually meant to keep us here, to protect Krishna's holy Dham and Krishna from us, which is interesting. Naham prakasya sarvasya yoga maya samavita. Krishna says, I'm not revealed to these fools and ass rascals. All this energy is meant to keep them away. So, anyway, so the solution is to follow in the footsteps of Lord Rishabhadev. Now, that's what Prabhupada said. If following the footsteps of Lord Rishabhadev, one can give up a subtle body, there's no chance that one will accept a material body again. So what does that mean, to follow in the footsteps? I mean, really have to understand what that means. Prabhupada does not say, if imitating Lord Rishabhadev, one can give up the subtle body, there's no chance that one will accept a material body again. So there's a difference between following in the footsteps and imitating. Anusar, anukar. These are the Sanskrit words for that. So, also, Lord Srila Prabhupada says something very similar in the story about Bhart Maharaj. How Bhart Maharaj acted like a fool, Jada Bhart, when he took birth as Jada Bhart, after the birth as a deer. So that everyone just, like, ignored him, basically. They didn't try to send him to work or anything. So he could just be absorbed in Krishna. So Prabhupada explains what that means, to follow in the footsteps, in his explanation of Jada Bharata. He says to avoid bad association, basically. Avoid association materialist. So that's the whole reason Jada Bharata did what he did, and the whole reason Lord Rishabhadev did what he did. To avoid gramya kata, or mundane interactions, so he could focus on Krishna. And that's the whole reason Bhaktivinoda Thakur made believe he was sick in the final years of his pastimes, and he locked himself in so he could avoid bad association. And that's the first principle that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, Satsanga Chage Vaishnava Char. I mean, bad association sometimes is very attractive to us. Very attractive, just like people are very attached to family, mundane family, society, friendship, and love. I mean, that sounds very sweet. Prabhupada even said jokingly one time, society, friendship, and love divinely bestowed upon man. He said that's happiness in the material world. Happiness in the material world is being surrounded by loving relatives and all that other nice stuff, right? So, and one reason people are so miserable materially now is because they're not surrounded by their family. They're all just isolated. And, they just see their family on Skype sometimes. Skype or YouTube. Not YouTube. Or Facebook. I mean, how many friends do you have on Facebook? When have you seen any of them? Isn't it? I have so many. I have like over 5,000 or whatever it is, Facebook friends. And I've seen maybe, at least those who are in the room, are probably all my Facebook friends. So in this world, we want that society, friendship, and love. And that society, friendship, and love, in most cases, is actually, not in the case of devotional society, friendship, and love, in most cases, actually is a satsanga. But we're so sentimental, we want to go for it. We think, I want to play with my little nephew or something like that for Christmas or something like that. We're so sentimental that it just draws our attention. But that's actually yogamaya samavata, the covering potency of yogamaya, that keeps us out of good association, out of the association of Vaishnavas. So really, this is the essence of Lord Rishabhadev's teachings as an avaduta, his example as an avaduta, to avoid bad association. We don't imitate him. No one should walk around naked around here. I mean, it's just not really bad for the Krishna conscious movement if you walk around naked. If you have to do that, go to San Francisco. It's politically correct there. They just had to pass a law there against people being naked because everybody was walking around. Not everybody, but you know, so if you have to do something like go with the Aborigines in the jungles or wherever you want to go. But act normally because we are responsible for the reputation of the Krishna consciousness movement. Don't act like a crazy person. But as far as possible, avoid intimate interaction with those who are not Krishna conscious. Satsangachag e Vaishnav achar. That is the behavior of Vaishnav. First instruction by Srila Prabhupada. And then we can give up our subtle body, which is actually, it's stated that devotional service dissolves the subtle body of the living entity. And we should really want to do that. Dissolving that subtle body. The subtle body is the body of desires. You know, all the different impressions, like Lord Chaitanya states in the first Shikshashika, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadvakti Nirvapanam. It's the same thing. Cleansing the mirror of the heart is the same thing as dissolving the subtle body. I mean, it's just another way of saying the thing. Same thing. The heart is like the soul. And the soul is covered by the subtle body. So cleansing it means to get rid of that subtle, the material subtle body. You know, mind, intelligence, and of course, false ego. So this is actually, yeah, it's the same way of saying, it's a different way, I'm sorry, of saying the same thing. One can give up the subtle body. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadvagni nirvapanam. That's burning us. Mahadvagni. Mahadagni. Agni means like fire. Mahadagni. Mahadvagni. Means the burning fire of material existence. Extinguishes. Bhava mahadvagni nirvapanam. It gives up the, you extinguish the blazing fire of material existence by this good association, particularly by chanting the Lord's holy name. So any questions or comments about any of these things? Yeah. Yes. Well, he didn't have a material subtle body. It says one can... What
was the question?
The question is that giving up the subtle body is a gradual process for us. I mean, she was questioning or asking, making that point. Here it appears, she says that Lord Rishabhadev gave up the subtle body very quickly. Of course, I was just clarifying that in actuality, Lord Rishabhadev may have acted like he had a subtle body, but he was a pure devotee. I mean, he's an incarnation of the Lord. So, yes, it is a gradual process. Like dissolving something is very gradual. But how gradual or how quick it is depends on us.
So where is the point when the subtle body is dissolved?
When the subtle body is dissolved, Prabhupada explains that here, when one completely, let me get to the purport here, maintaining oneself as a servant of the Supreme Lord, if one keeps himself spiritually fit, thinks of himself as an eternal servant of the Lord, that means when 24 hours a day you're thinking of yourself as a eternal servant of the Lord. So in other words, because your false ego is not there. You have to, the false ego is I and mine. It's the opposite. And the real ego is, you know, I belong to Krishna and everything belongs to him, which is the opposite of I and mine. So it's when you're thinking of that 24 hours a day, then it's completely dissolved.
Self-realization.
When you're actually identifying yourself. Prabhupada is very clear here. Thinks of himself as an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. That doesn't mean just during the morning program. That means 24 hours a day one thinks of himself as a servant. That's your self-identification. You know, who are you? And there's no question in your mind that you don't... all these upadis that you were previously attached to, you know, that I'm American or white or black or female or male or... whatever, I'm a sannyasi, that's also an upadhi. Lord Chaitanya Sarvapati Vidir Muktam Tatpurit Poina Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktri. Same thing. Actually, that verse states the same thing. Sarvapati Vidir Muktam. Giving up the upadis, Tatpurit Poina Nirmalam, then you become pure. And then Rishikena Rishikesha, which is, I'm a servant of the Lord of the senses. That's what that verse means. Sevanam. And I'm meant to serve him. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. And Bhakti Uchite, that is known as Bhakti. Bhakti Uchite. You understand? A little Sanskrit. You like Sanskrit, right? You should learn Sanskrit. It's actually very interesting. So that's the same thing. When we're complete, so this is what we should be focusing on. I'm Krishna's servant, or I'm Radha and Krishna's servant, or I'm Lord Chaitanya's servant, or I'm the servant of the spiritual master. I mean, all the things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. That's axiomatic. And then that's what it means to give up the subtle body. Because the subtle body has these upadis, the designations. So when you give up the designations, then you have no more subtle body. But it takes time. I mean, because we're not doing that 24 hours a day. We're just doing that maybe during part of the morning program, if we're lucky. So, yeah.
The verse that you're talking about, Prabhupada said, giving up bad association. What verse was that?
That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada was quoting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Satsanga Chag E Vaishnava Char. I don't remember, exactly what chapter it's in. Asat Sangha, that means temporary association. Asat Sangha Chag. Chag means renunciation. E Vaishnava Achar. The Achar means basically the example or the activity. Achar, like Jadyala Charity Shrechtas in the Bhagavad Gita, that someone should set a good example. So, or as the great person sets a good example. So, a Vaishnava Char. The Vaishnava behavior is Satsanga Chag. To give it, Satsanga Chag. Satsanga is good association. And then, of course, there's other verses. On the other hand, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sashra. Koi, Lava Sadhu. By good association, then you can achieve all perfection. So there's on the opposite side of the coin, there's good association. Okay. On that happy note, all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.